And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, brothers and sisters, please open with me to 2 Timothy in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to spend some time in a very notable section here. Just a couple verses, verses 16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. You'll have to forgive me. I'm still getting over, I think, the cold many of us have struggled with over the last few weeks. But by God's grace, I'm just coming out, and so I'm very thankful. But it is, as we begin this morning, beloved, so good to be with you all this morning, to be with you in God's house, to welcome some of you who are out from my familiar home of Fairview Baptist Church and others this morning for the first time. It's so wonderful to be with you and to be with you, brothers and sisters, now as pastor at Sunrise Community Baptist Church. This is a very great privilege to me. It gives me great joy. It feels as though in many ways it is the fulfillment of God's word that for those who delight in God, he gives the desires of their heart. And this has been a great desire of mine since coming and sharing the word with all of you on the Lord's Day mornings and getting to know each and every one of you. And I hope to do that in the time to come. Because I feel a great love for you, a great love for you as the body of Christ. God has imprinted upon my heart, and I've enjoyed the times of encouragement that we've been able to share already in the short period that we've had to get to know one another in the Word of God. And I'm very much looking forward to the privilege of doing that in the future as pastor here at Sunrise Community Baptist Church. And I believe that so far as the Lord allows, that will be many years to come. Because this morning I want to share with you something of my philosophy as pastor, is that that the pastorate, so far as the will of God directs, is something of a lifelong calling. I don't see Sunrise Community Baptist Church for me as a stepping stone in the ministry for other exterior things elsewhere. I see Sunrise Community Baptist Church as my church, the family of God that the Lord has called me to. And so far as the Lord graciously allows me, I think and hope and pray that my only exit from here would be when God calls me across the Jordan one day, as he will for each and every one of us. And so I plan and am committed to, by the grace of God, to be your pastor for the future, all the future that God graciously provides me. And I believe this to be the normative pattern of Scripture, which is where I get this encouragement from. And so I'm looking forward to many opportunities to get to know all of you and to have you in my home and for our family to get acquainted with you. I want to encourage you. Brothers and sisters, I am not, I know sometimes the pastorate seems like an unapproachable office in the church. That is not the case. I am a fellow member of the flock with you. Come and talk to me. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know all of you over this time that we're going to share together. I want to make time to know you, to be encouraged by you, and to encourage you in the Lord as members of the family of God. So please approach me whenever you wish. Bring your questions, bring your conversations and your coffee. I'm a coffee lover. So by God's grace, this is a wonderful thing. And as I consider this morning my calling as pastor here at Sunrise Community Baptist Church, I want to begin on a very important note this morning. No doubt you will have noticed the title of my sermon this morning is Beginning with the Bible. And that is, exactly what I want to do. There is, in my mind, no better way for us to begin on this trajectory for myself as a pastor here than with the Word of God, and with God's holy Word, with the Scriptures before us. I believe that this is the foundation of ministry. It is in part the foundation of the church, of the living God, is the Scriptures, God's self-revelation. And many of you who maybe have experience in building homes will know something of that foundation talk. When you know that if you're laying the cement for a home, if you're laying the foundation for a house, and that foundation is off, you have no hope of keeping that building strong to weather the upcoming elements. The foundation sets the tone. It provides stability for the house to weather oncoming trial. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about the wise man building his house upon the solid rock, an immovable foundation, which he taught was the Word of God. And that it would only be a fool who would build his house on something like sand. For when the elements come and test that house, great is its fall, great is its destruction. And this morning, I wish to set the pattern, set the tone for ministry, which will be upon the Word of our God. And so let's look together at that word this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to read those last two verses of the chapter. Paul writes here, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work. Now, notably, this is a small text, just a couple of verses, but we could probably fill a library with historic resources that have been wrote particularly on this subject, coming right from this passage in Scripture. The realities are profound in this passage about what we hold when we have God's Word in our hand. What is this book, right? What does it teach about us as the church? How is it informative? How is it instructive? How does it change us? How does God use this? And I find particularly, personally, these words uniquely relevant to myself as this is Paul's words as a mentor to a mentee, right? This is the Apostle Paul speaking to young Timothy as he begins a new ministry as a pastor, overseer in the household of God. Now, clearly his situation being far more drastic, clearly as the word before that in chapter 3 and before speaks of the many trials that young Timothy will face as a pastor. The many temptations, even the onslaught of opposition that this young man is going to face as a pastor in the house of God. And here is where something of accumulation of this word comes, where Paul gives this young pastor this advice. Timothy, consider the truth of what the Word of God is. Be instructed here, and you will be ready for whatever God brings your way, young man. Listen up. It is God-breathed. It is a God-breathed word. It is profitable. It is profitable for every good work. And so you have everything you need, which is essentially what he says. Now, I want to examine this morning with you, beloved, by means of 3 points in my pretty typical fashion, as you're probably getting accustomed to. 3 points. This morning, if you're taking notes with me, you can note. And the first this morning is that the Bible is the Word of God. Okay, it kind of goes without saying, I know, but I'll emphasize this and clarify this with you. The Bible is the Word of God. Okay, it says here in verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. The Greek is theopneustos, God's breath, God's spirit, God breathed. Now, depending on your translation, you might have various words there. God breathed may be one, given by inspiration may be another, or breathed out by God. But they're communicating this truth, which is literally that when it comes to the Bible, this is God's spoken word. This is coming directly from his mouth. And this is where the word for inspiration comes from. When we think of the scriptures are inspired by God, literally inspired by the Holy Spirit, as coming from God's mouth. Now, that means that when we talk about the Bible, this is not the product of mere men. Now, that is a common critique of the Bible, though, isn't it? Many of you may have faced that. Families, relatives, others who say, well, when you talk about the Bible, this is produced by men, right? This was wrote by men many years ago. It can't be trusted. Well, we know as Christians, this truth is not separated from the instrumentality of men. God has used men throughout time to pen these words, but men inspired by God. And we understand from Scripture that this doesn't lessen in any way. It doesn't reduce the authenticity of that word. And an example would be Moses' words to Pharaoh, right? When Moses was speaking, and actually, more accurately, Moses to Aaron, and then Aaron to Pharaoh, that transmission didn't lessen the word at all. It was still God's holy word. And we have that same truth even at the beginning of Jeremiah, where this prophet has said that when you speak, I am speaking. Right? When you open your mouth and you speak the words that I've given you, it is me talking. So, brothers and sisters, what we have in the word is not diminished by its scribal work of men, by copying down through generations. This is unequivocally God's breathed word. And therefore, it is authoritative in what it says. The word of God is fully authoritative. That means that when it comes to the preeminent, the highest, the most authoritative source, the objective standard, this word of God sets the tone. Everything else must be compared to Scripture. The final word, if you might say it. The final word on everything, because God has the final word. He is God. There's no authority higher than him. And so when he speaks, that's it. Truth is being taught. And may I mention even on that, it is authoritative and it's trustworthy. It's trustworthy. You can trust it. You can trust it in everything it communicates. It's coming directly from the mouth of God, meaning there's no contradictions. There's no errors in this word. And I know, I'm acquainted with the arguments that, again, come from our culture and previous times. Oh, no, that Bible, that's full of errors. Well, get in line. Many have brought that critique to Scripture, and time again, through quick grammatical and historical analysis, so-called contradictions can be done away with in a matter of moments, and they have been. When you come to Scripture, you're coming to the authority of God, the final word, an errorless word, an inerrant word, a true word. And a word that is totally undiminished. So whatever narrative, whatever wisdom, whatever doctrine it brings, you as a Christian can know in your heart, this I can trust. I can trust this with my entire heart. And this is why, brothers and sisters, that for years, and even here at Sunrise, the word occupies the majority of the time during the worship service. It's not just that I like to talk, and I like to talk, but this time is devoted not to me, but to Word of God. The Word of God, the greatest portion of the service is as the Word is lifted up. That's why we have a pulpit, ultimately, is because not just to hold notes, but actually, historically, symbolically, to elevate the Word Elevate the scripture. Elevate this because when we're hearing, so far as the word of God is faithfully preached, when we're hearing it preached, we're getting God's word to us. Now, I'm not an infallible witness, but if the truth is being declared to you, and it is what God's word teaches, you are receiving God's word. And this is why it is central in our worship services. And there's power in that. There's power in the word of God, transforming, life altering, spirit granting power. When you sit under the word of God, there is power, brothers and sisters. You will know this as a Christian. It is the word that changed you. It's the word that has transformed you. And so when you sit under the scripture, when you sit under the preaching of God's word, you're sitting under the power of God's word. But if you are not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, this is still important for you. This is still important for you. Because even if you don't know Jesus Christ, this word is God's word. My dear friend, if you're even here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not hearing this morning cultural anecdotes and self-help formulas and a spiritual crutch so that you can get through life. You're hearing the word of God. You're hearing God's voice to you. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, God's word is saying clearly, repent of your sin. Come to Jesus Christ. Be saved. Come to the Christ that the body here, the Christians know. The unworthy gathering of us broken souls has experienced in Jesus. This is the word. Praise God for it. Now, I don't want to leave out another unique element here, because Paul qualifies this phrase when he says all scripture is breathed out by God. Now we would do a great disservice if we left out that word. All, okay? All, every single bit of scripture is God's breath. So that means that there's no sections today that are too irrelevant. They're culturally dated, perhaps. Time has passed, and so there's those portions of the Old Testament don't speak the same way today that they did at that time. No, absolutely not. And you even consider the Paul the Apostle at this time speaking primarily of the Old Testament. It wouldn't have been even fully compiled at that time. Speaking of what is in many ways the most controversial portion of the Bible. It's all God breathed, every bit of it. Don't get rid of it. Don't move aside from what might be offensive. Every bit of the scriptures that you hold in your hand is inspired by God. And should probably mention at that point that this can test us, can't it? This can test us. We all know that. We've all come to passages in the Bible where the wrench is pretty deep, right? Is that actually what it says? Does it actually mean what it says? That point is pretty exposing. And what we do is we try to bury ourselves away from those hot button topics that the Bible deals with, right? Well, in our mind, we might try to justify our escape by saying, well, that's culturally irrelevant, or God knows my circumstances, or we might even say, I have peace about that in my heart. I don't need to worry about that passage anymore. But what we're doing when we do this is actually ridding ourselves of the word of God's greatest blessing to us. If we're running away, if we're getting uncomfortable, if we're hiding from the scripture's exposure, you just cut off the blessing that you could receive from God. It's when the word acts as a double-edged sword that it is then the balm of God to heal. Right? It is then the healing agent, the remedy for our soul. When God cuts us deep with the word, shows us we've been unfaithful in this regard, I trust that God will then heal with the very same word that cut us in the first place. Do not strip yourself of that opportunity for blessing. All the word, brothers and sisters. All the word. Now, I'm still on my first point, but I want to make maybe it really pointed and applied. As we think about this, the Bible is the word of God. Sunrise, this word must be our guiding principle. This word must give us direction as a church. Right? This word is must go before us. All the decisions we make, our path that we navigate, must be based upon this book, this holy word of God. Right here, this is where we go when we're finding ourselves. Well, what do we do with this situation, or how do we navigate this circumstance? Or I'd like to introduce this. We come right here. We come to the word of God. This gives us trajectory. It maps out our next moves as Christians. And we don't want to forget that, because we will find ourselves in those positions as a church. We will. We will find ourselves asking those questions. What is the right next move? How do we consider this ministry? How do I process that? Well, Christians, we must be a people of the word. It must navigate us forward. And I realize, even as I say that, that I am accountable to that. I, as your pastor, am deeply accountable to that reality. My direction, as I lead and seek to shepherd your souls, must be rooted in the word of God. And as I say that, there's a sense in which, even as I propose or seek to persuade, that you could be able to say, well, yes, Pastor Alex, where did you find that? Right? What is the motivation behind that? This is a right observation. And by God's grace, I seek to hold myself to that in my desire to lead you in what the scriptures say. And I know that it will be our greatest blessing. And it's at that point I want to move on to my second point this morning. Second point, which is that the Bible is the greatest benefit to the church. The Bible is the greatest benefit to the church. A greatest benefit. Now let's read this again. Verse 16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So this God-breathed word is not just simply cold, hard, spiritual facts for data input. Okay, I understand. I'll log that away in my spiritual filing cabinet, as it were. No. This word comes with benefit. It actually comes, as I mentioned, with power and effectiveness in our life. It's meant to be. It's meant to be our tool, our resource, our source of change. This is what Paul is saying to young Timothy. Use the word, Timothy. This is the tool of ministry that will work powerfully. You're an inadequate tool of ministry. You need the word to change and to transform. Now let's cut this apart here, because I think there's some important words that Paul gives us. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Now I'm going to move on, but let's pause there for a moment. For teaching. Otherwise known as instruction. So the Bible is profitable for us as the people of God in instruction, in teaching, as a tutor, if you will. And that just tells us that that we, as Christians, we're actually students of the Word. We're enlisted in an academy, if you will. And that rings true of even Jesus Christ's last words, Matthew 28, right? Go forth, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, teach them. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded. This is part of what it is to be a disciple, is to learn, to be taught, to be instructed. We need the tutorship of the Word of God in our life. And this is integral to change. If we want to see God move in our lives, we need instruction. We need guidance. And so it's profitable for teaching, Paul says. He also says it's profitable for what? Reproof, for correction. Okay, now we're getting a little bit more interesting, aren't we? Okay, teaching, yeah, makes sense. Reproof and correction. Explain that a little bit. For reproof and correction. This is essentially rebuke, disciplinary purposes. The Bible, in its profitability, is a rod of discipline, if you will, to the Christian, correcting them, teaching them, admonishing them about their sin. As I consider that, I think that sometimes can be a confusion because us as Christians, maybe we neglect the reality of sin. The reality of sin, that we still have it. We still have it. We're still fighting the flesh. We're still involved in our own personal spiritual warfare. The Christian life transcends just good feelings, if you will. We have a fight to be engaged with. There's still things, besetting evils, that we need to root up with the Word of God. And this is what the Bible is saying to us, is that the Bible is actually the rod to clear away, as it were, the fog of our minds to the awareness of our sin. It's still there. It's still there, Christian. And the Bible comes alongside us in our hardness, in our dustiness, and our lack of awareness to our own sin. And it reproves us. It shows us, here it is. Here it is, Alex. This is where your sin is. You haven't seen it in a while, but it's there and it's lurking and it's real and you need to deal with it. Correction. Correction and rebuke. And this is a hard one because it means it's not always going to feel comfortable. And I already talked about that. But it means we're going to be exposed. But this is good. And Christian, this morning, if you find yourself in the place of sin, and it's become almost numb to you. That sin that you found yourself in is losing its attack on your conscience. Well, you need to come back. You need to come back. You need to get into the Word. And Christian, if you've been numb to the fact that you still have sin, it's the same remedy. You've got to come back. Come back. God, I feel as though I don't even know if I have sins that are against you. Oh, well, you do. You do. Come here. Come here. And may Christ be again the balm to the wounds and the diseases of sin. So teaching, reproof, correction. Paul then says, training in righteousness. It's profitable, finally, for training in righteousness. Now, here we're sort of back on track where, okay, you know, I can jive with that. That makes sense. I need to be trained to be holy, right? I need to grow and advance as a Christian. And this is important if sort of you look at the Christian faith almost like just a breeze, a relax, a sort of social benefit. It's work. It's work. I mean, after all, you consider the last section here, reproof and correction. This is part of the Christian life. I need to have my sin exposed. This is regiment, right? Even the Apostle Paul talks about that, right? I'm not boxing the air. I'm running a race. I am involved in spiritual discipline and activity that will be a benefit to my soul. Christian, the Christian life is work. It's effort. Now, lest I fall into the camp of heresy there, I understand God gives us the strength for everything that we do. But we can't find ourselves in that category of thinking that holiness is just going to shock us like a lightning bolt. Tomorrow, bang. Okay, it's all gone. There we go. God may act that way. He may do that out of his gracious mercy to his own people. But what is normative in the word of God is instruction, correction, reproof, and training, diligence. God teaches us to put things away, to get into the word, to study and to meditate. And if you found yourself in the word and find it a difficulty for that reason, well, press on. Press on. It's worth it. You need to study it. You need to press into it. You need to be diligent. If you don't have a time where you are alone reading the word, if you don't have a time, fathers, where you're reading the word of God to your family, even children, if you're not listening, paying attention, then you will find yourself getting harder and harder to the word of God. Here it is. This is training. This is work. And by the grace of God, we can prevail. And it takes attention. It takes investment. Now, as I think about all of this that's mentioned here, and again, we're still under my second point, which is the Bible is the greatest benefit to the church. I want to talk about benefits for a moment. Because I recognize that we as a church here at Sunrise, we want to experience the benefit of God. Right? We want to be recipients of God's favor and his blessing upon us as a church. We want to see the ministry grow and be vibrant and wonderful and honor God. Praise the Lord. What a good desire. We should have that desire. It's a good desire. We want to see even the northeast of Calgary brought to Jesus Christ. Moved unto the Savior. The gospel make inroads all over. And here it is, Christian. The growth strategy of the Word of God this morning. The Word of God. The growth strategy of Scripture is Scripture. God's growth strategy for his church is the Bible's centrality. This is where we see positive growth as a people of God. This is God's way of building his church, a dedication to the centrality and the authority of the Bible. I, like each and every one of you, oh, praise God, we're excited to see more people come to the church and be a part of the family of God. We want to see more men and women fill these pews on a Sunday. Isn't it exciting? Right? The word is being preached. Souls are coming. It's so vibrant. And I believe that the way that that growth happens is by the centrality of the word. It's by the centrality of the word of God. And I believe even more than even physical growth, that God is telling us here that his priority for growth and part of a branch of seeing physical growth is our purity in the Word of God. It is our holiness as Christians. It is our dedication to receiving God's truth and ourselves growing as members of his body. This is where the church becomes vibrant. This is what is attractive to a world day to the faith. A church that was genuine. A church that loved God. A church that had the word preached and obeyed. And it was making effect in their life. This is our spiritual growth plan, if you will. The Bible. The Bible being central. Now, I have one last point for you this morning, and it is, again, very clear in the text, which is that the Bible is all we need, and I think we've sort of already mentioned that, so it's somewhat synonymous, but the Bible is all we need, and let's look at that last portion again. Verse 17, Paul finishes here to Timothy, that, finishing off his phrase for how the Bible is profitable, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Wow, isn't that something? Young Timothy, you're going to have a lot of work on your hands. You're going out into a world of sin. You're taking on a church that needs serious help. But if you have one tool one tool that equips you in totality. It is this, the Bible, the Scripture. You don't need to amass a tool belt of a million other different resources. You need Scripture, and Timothy, you will be equipped. You will have everything you need as a man of God. Absolutely everything. Sufficient. The Bible is what makes pastoral ministry. I want to start here and think about the sufficiency of Scripture for us as a church. Firstly, the Bible is what makes the pastoral ministry. And it's not just one piece. It really is the ministry. When it comes to a pastor shepherding the flock, the overseer, the pastor, the shepherd is to be a man of the word. And what's popular today is not that. What's popular today is not that. It is a personality. It is a hip, cool individual. It is someone who's relevant to the rest of the world. And I'm not saying that the Bible's never relevant, but what seems to be craved for the quote-unquote man of God is that he is everything that the world wants. He is no more than a face and a personality and a dress code, a charismatic man. But what Paul is communicating here, he's saying of the man in this position, he is to be a Bible man. He's to be a Bible man, a Scripture-centered man. Now, I should qualify that a little bit because it's not as though that the man of God equipped with the Scriptures is therefore a boring lecturer with no heart. We know that. No, the Word of God comes with power, power. Right? Authenticity. And there's charismatic elements in that. But primarily and sufficiently, the man of God in that pastoral position is to be a man of the word. And when I preach that, I feel the weight of that, even on my own shoulders. I need to be, as a pastor of Sunrise, a man of the word. And I'm a weak man. And many of you are going to get to know me more personally. You will know that I am a weak man. I am not of myself able to do what God asks, only in His Spirit. But the Word of God is what equips me. The Word of God, I need it. I need it for my own soul. I need to put it as front and center of my own family, shepherding my wife and my children and all of you wonderful folks. The Word of God must be central. I need it. We need it. And the word is sufficient for all of us. It's sufficient. It's what we need as Sunrise Community Baptist Church. It's all we need, really, is what the apostle is saying. It's it. The word. The word of God. It is sufficient. And again, as I think about what is relevant for churches, this runs contrast. There's so many gimmicks out there. Their culture is really telling you, Sunrise. The rest of the evangelical world is saying, you've got to get more relevant, more noise, bigger band, more lights, more ambiance, smoke machines, you name it. This is what you need if you want to be vibrant, right? If you want to be hip, if you want to get more people, right? Drama, plays, you name it. Fun. Get your people pumped up. But Paul is saying something else here. He's saying to Timothy, saying to the church, you're equipped if you have the word of God. You have the word. It's all the bride of Christ needs to be faithful. She doesn't need a million programs. She doesn't need a ton of constant activity. She needs the word. She needs the nourishment of truth. And I think sometimes we lack there. We go to different avenues because maybe our faith is drained. Are you serious? Right? Are you serious? Just the Bible, just its centrality, that's going to give the church life? That sounds so antiquated, so old school. And yet, we believe the Bible. It is life-giving. This is power. This is growth material. This is holiness affecting. The word. And Christians, if we lost it all, think about this with me this morning. If we lost it all as a church, if we were left destitute financially, we didn't have a building, we lost all our circumstances, we were just void of it all. But we had the Bible, we would still have what we need. We would still have what we need. We would have the greatest treasure to the people of God, the truth, God's inerrant word. We would have the ability to look upon the splendor and the majesty of Jesus Christ, right? Our King, who came down to give his own life, to offer it as a sacrifice for the broken and the destitute and the unworthy. This is the message of our soul. This is the nourishment to our hearts. Christian, if you have the Bible, you have everything you need. Praise God. To look upon the majesty of Jesus. So I end here. I have one sort of final application for us. And it's this: get into the Bible. It's pretty straightforward. Just get into it. Get into the Bible. Get into your Bibles. Get in deep to the Scriptures. Get into them now. Get accustomed to them. Get acquainted with the Word of God. It may be that you've been out of practice for a while. It may be that your Bible is at home and it's collected a little bit of dust. Okay, dust it off, pull it out, get it in front of your eyes and start reading it. Right? Look to the Word of God. It has life-giving power. And the time to start it, if you've been laxing, you've been waxing and waning in your practice, is just to do it. Don't sit at home and mope about how long it's been or how hard it is to get into it. Just simply read it. Read it. Bring it to church with you on Sunday. Hold it on your lap. Open it up. Flip with it. Tune yourself into the Word. Do everything you need to do to give it your attention. Make it a priority. Just read it. We need the Scriptures. We need the Scriptures desperately. Our life depends on it. If we as a church are going to see spiritual prosperity, the Lord do a mighty, mighty work, well, it has to start here. Has to start with a commitment to the Scripture. And so, beloved, we need to give ourselves to this. We need to give ourselves to the Word. We need to be a family of God devoted to the Bible. To say unanimously, we will have no other authority, right? We will have no other authority. We believe in no other word to save souls. We're going to keep this word close to our hearts. We're going to keep it on our lips and speak it. We will be a people of the Word by God's grace. So may we be this people. Brothers and sisters, a Bible people. And may we trust that God will richly bless in his way, in his time, but richly, richly bless. Let's bow our heads together and pray.